Adam needed a helper. Adam needed a complement. Adam needed a high capacity contributor. And Eve was created again for Adam in this way. And the first recorded words of the Bible was Adam saying, "At last!"
Listeners, and welcome back to Live in the Light and our series called Unless the Lord Builds the House. Today we are going through a message on the topic of marriage and specifically the role of wives. Now again, if you are not a wife, that does not give you a free pass today. There will be something in today's message to encourage you or speak to you because God's word is living and active. And hey, husbands, your message is coming. I am so thankful that we believe that Scripture is the foundation to life and that the designer of marriage has given us instructions on how it's best done. And I can tell you, I'm a wife and a Christ follower, and I need constantly to be looking back over these instructions because I desire that the Lord would bless my house and my marriage. If that's you too, then you're going to want to listen closely today because God's instruction is timeless and valuable, and it provides a strong foundation in your marriage that will work to please Him. Grab your Bible and open it with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll finish today's message together, Unless the Lord Builds My Marriage.
There's a difference in roles to the glory of God. At this stage, I want to take several moments to understand, this is very important for this time, the message, to understand what biblical submission is not. And these will be again on the screen beside me and behind me here. Number one, let's understand this. Biblical submission is not about inferiority. We just covered that in detail. Number two is this. Biblical submission is not to men in general. If you look at verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husband." Okay, so this is very clear. 1 Peter 3 also says this as well. This is a command then of submission within marriage only. Now, we are all commanded to submit to our authorities and to submit to our leaders. I understand all that. But this specific command of a woman to a man is only within marriage, okay? In the context of marriage, right? So in my marriage, my wife, Jill, she is called and commanded to submit to the leadership, again, in my home. My wife is not called to submit to any other man in the room the same way. Praise God for that. All right. That's between her and I in the context, and same where you are right now. Again, this is again in the context of a marriage and one home. Thirdly, biblical submission is never following your husband into sin, ever. So as to the Lord, verse 22 also means Christ will never ask you to disobey his commands or will. Make sure we understand that so clearly. Jesus Christ will never ask you to disobey his command. He will never ask you to sin. So any husband that leads or pressures his wife into sin, let me be as clear as I can, he's a spiritual fraud. Any husband that seeks to lead his wife against the will of God and specifically into sin is a total doofus and a spiritual fraud. That is not biblical submission. Fourthly, biblical submission, ladies, is not losing your personality or denying your giftedness. The beauty of a biblical marriage is the complement of the two becoming one flesh. It's so powerful. It's so beautiful. It's just so awesome. Every single woman brings into marriage wisdom, intellect, giftedness, expertise, incredible beauty and competency, again, into every marriage. No longer I married, my wife and I were about to, Lord willing, come up to 25 years this coming June. And one of the things that I often marvel and I say to my wife, Jill, I just say, you are a gift to me. You are, in a way that I couldn't possibly understood, you're one. You know, because you just see God's design. You see strengths and weaknesses, and you see strengths and weaknesses. You see the strengths come together, and you're like, man, like, so in 2003, we met with leaders in Chicago for the idea of planting this church. They met me, and they were like, yeah, There's some things we like, but they also had some hesitancies. They met Jill, they're like, okay, you're good. You know, and Jill's here right now. She was like, oh, no, trust me. Trust me, that happened. I saw it in their eyes and I heard it from their lips. Like, but they were smart because they're looking for it. Like, Rob, you got some strengths. You got some weaknesses, bro, right? But then they met my wife and they're like, okay, God has equipped your wife to come in with tremendous competencies to complement you, and we like your chances of making it into the future. That's how God works. One of the things too, it's just like, for me, like, again, the longer I'm married, and I pray that this is where you are as well, because it's just so, it's so encouraging. But I look at my wife, I look at her, her counsel, her wisdom. I go to her again with so many questions. I want to talk through things. I appreciate, again, what she brings to our home and the way that she's a mother to my children and just her expertise in so many areas. I marvel. I often just marvel and just say, what could I do? I couldn't do this. I could not do this. By God's design, I don't know if the future's going to hold. But as of right now, I see God's design, particularly for our lives in this place and in this ministry. Let me just say this too. If you have any appreciation for, again, the ministry here at Hope Oakville in any regards to me, man, you better have an appreciation for my wife, Jill. She's behind the scenes. She's never seen. She is absolutely essential to everything, again, I can do and who I am. And that's how God has designed it. Women are absolutely wonderful and beautiful and essential and powerful and so needed. Listen, by the design of God. Now, man, when you say these things to your wife, think she'll be mad at you? I don't think so. And Jill might be a little embarrassed right now. I'm doing it publicly, right? Right? That might be a little bit. But at the end of the day, man, there's not a woman in the world that doesn't want to hear the reality of, like, you are such a gift from God to my life by the design of God, and I'm so much better because the two become one, and to see what God can do. I love talking about this stuff because it's just so right. Fifthly, biblical submission is not the husband is always right. Sorry, men. That's not what this is. The biblical marriage, as I just explained, decides together. Values shared wisdom. Yes, the husband leads. Yes. So big on that. Listen, how does he lead? Well, that's all next week. But he leads with love. He leads with sacrifice. He leads in selflessness. He leads in sanctifying love. He cherishes. That's how the husband is to lead. He treasures the wisdom of his wife. And decisions flow from there. Six, biblical submission is not following a dictator ever. Again, biblical submission is in the context of a husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church. I cannot stress that enough. Biblical submission is in the context of a wife being loved in a way she could never have imagined in the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me say this. The cowardice of men who take this verse and seek to dominate or control their wives through it. Cowards. Fools. Again, it's cowardice. Understand this, a truly godly man will never have to force or manipulate his wife into submission. A godly man will never have to force or manipulate his wife. He will love and cherish her towards the will of God. So as many of you know, I have 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls. I have 2 daughters who are or quickly becoming young women. I pity the fool who walks into my home and doesn't treat one of my daughters like daughters of the king. I pity the fool. Young men, like, you're here right now, you should be taking tons and tons of notes, and trust me, you come back next week and you take more notes. You want to learn what it means to be a man that is under the will of God and can love a wife in the heart of the way Jesus Christ loved the church. There are a few things more powerful and more beautiful and more glorious. And you, if you get into that phase and stage of life where it's appropriate for you to be dating, man, you will see her. You will see her first and foremost as a daughter of the king, and you will learn to cherish. You will learn to protect and nourish. You will, as it gets serious, you will learn what it means to jump into a role of true leader, true protector and guide, and humbling yourself, and again, selflessly serving her with your life. That's when it gets exciting. Biblical submission. Biblical submission is never following a dictator. Seventh and lastly, biblical submission is to never tolerate any form of abuse, ever. I'll say it again. Biblical submission is never to tolerate any form of abuse, ever. As a church, we passionately protect the women of Hope Oakville, and we will not tolerate any form of sinful abuse, and we will never ask a woman to do so either. The top priority for us in such situations that we deem where this is happening will be the safety and protection of the woman, and we will ensure that happens first, and then we will assess the other things that are going on. Again, in that situation, we pray with the Lord's help. Biblical submission is to never tolerate any form of abuse. That is what biblical submission is not. But our subpoint was, again, what it is. It is the design of God. So let us understand this as we point to the positive, one more statement in the negative. Biblical submission, this is just so key in our day, we have to say these things now out loud and clearly. Biblical submission is not an artifact of oppressive patriarchy. It is the design of God. It is not an artifact of oppressive patriarchy. Ray Ortland, he explains this. He says, submission or headship, listen, began in heaven, came down into this world creationally as a pathway, listen, to human flourishing. See, it's the design of God. It's not negative. It's incredibly positive and supernatural when it's combined with a husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church. Adam needed a helper. Adam needed a complement. Adam needed a high-capacity contributor. And Eve was created, again, for Adam in this way. And the first recorded words of the Bible was Adam saying, "At last!" He was so fired up, man, he saw a beautiful woman, amen? I mean, it's like, there he was. He set eyes, all these animals all around, and he saw her. And he's just like, whoa, right? And at last, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Can you imagine that moment though? Can you imagine that moment? How awesome, how excited he would have been. He would have been like, praise the Lord, hallelujah, right? I mean, just like, God is so good, right? I mean, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Now listen. Here's this quote by Ray Ortland too. He says this, okay? This is very important. The insight offered here by the Bible, Genesis 2, is saying that the delicate interplay, and it is a delicate interplay, between male head and female helper. By the way, helper is not inferior also because God is also called the same term helper in the Bible too. God is inferior to no one. Between male head and female helper is not a mutation in human social evolution to be replaced by later developments. This is what our world and society is teaching. Everything we're saying right now is going so far against the culture of society. Here's the key. It is a stroke of divine genius. Marriage and its design is a stroke of divine genius original to our existence. Now, this is what's true. And again, we have to decide, do I believe it? This young people, all people, we have to decide basically right now, do I want the Lord to build my house in marriage? Will I submit to his authority and his word and his infinite wisdom and fallible nature? Or am I going to follow the sinful, broken, fallen society? Again, this is what we have to decide. When the Lord builds a marriage, he builds one where wives believe in the beauty of submission. Secondly, and lastly here, when the Lord builds a marriage, wives will value the impact of respecting their husbands. Wives will value the impact of respecting their husbands. Why do you say that? Well, look at verse 33. Verse 33, this is where we'll end next week, but just I want you to look at it here today as well. This is like a summary statement of everything that Paul has taught by the Holy Spirit in terms of marriage in Ephesians 5 here. He says this, verse 33, however, let each one of you love his wife. So if you want one word for a husband in terms of his marriage, it's love. Love, 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 love. And notice, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. One word for wives pertaining to their marriage that is so impactful is respect, right here, again, in the inspired word of God. Why is this so important? Wives, respect your husband. Why is this so important? Well, because one of the great temptations of wives since the fall, since sin entered the world in Genesis 3, is the temptation for wives would be to rule over their husbands. That's the temptation. Here's what Genesis 3 states as a result of the consequences of sin. So this is what God said in this case to Eve. He said, because sin has entered the world, here's going to be the consequences. I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, and pain you shall bring forth children. Listen to this. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Let's put the commentary up for a second. Notice, okay? So right from the beginning, since sin entered the world, God tells us, here's the battle. The single greatest temptation of women in marriage will be to usurp the authority of their husbands given to them by God. And the great temptation of men and husbands is going to be, again, to dominate, control, again, their wives, to be a dictator. So here is the battle for leadership, explained from us right from the beginning because of the consequence of sin. This is the battle we face, and all of us feel this in one way or another. It's good to say out loud, and it's good to see up front. This is why love and respect is so absolutely massive. This is the struggle, again, we feel. Now, if the greatest temptation of a wife is to usurp the authority of her husband, what's the best way to fight against authority? How would someone, if they want to fight against authority, what would they do? Number one, they would rebel. And they would show tremendous disrespect. If you want to fight against authority, you will protest, you will rebel, and you will show tremendous disrespect. So wives tempted in sin, they'll be tempted to put down their husbands. They'll be tempted to shame their husbands. It's amazing the amount of hurt and pain that comes from shame. They'll be tempted to patronize, be condescending towards their husbands. Wives will be tempted to boss around their husbands, tempted to take the lead and mess up biblical roles. Here's a great principle for wives. Ready? When you're leading, you're losing. When you're leading, just by God's design, when you're leading, you're losing. And you have to decide, do I believe that? You're like, my flesh, I don't want to believe that. But do I believe that? Do I believe that God is right? When you're leading, you're losing. Now I can hear it right now. I can hear it from several right now. But my husband won't lead, Robbie. My husband won't lead. He just sits there. Now, I'm completely aware of such situations. And I told you, come back for part two next week. I've said that several times now. It's very, very important. But listen to this. Here's a very important theological understanding and a piece of theological wisdom, okay? The answer to a passive and lazy husband, which, by the way, is sin. Men, you're passive and lazy, that's sin. You are rejecting the call of God upon your life in your home and marriage. Listen, the answer to a passive and lazy husband is not shame and ridicule. That's not the answer, ladies, right? Another way to say it, the answer to sin is not more sin. That will never work. We don't pile up sin upon sin that's making us so frustrated. As I read this week, this is very well said, as often as a man will attempt to dominate a woman with strength, a woman will try and control a man with shame. The man will be tempted to dominate a woman with strength, and a woman will be tempted to control a man with shame. It's interesting, in recent weeks, I've had a couple messages come in from women who have basically suggested that I'm too easy on the women. I was like, interesting. Let's take a survey. Yeah. Now, I can be hard on men. And I think I'm right too. I want to challenge, because we need men to stand up. We need men to lead and to love their wives as Christ loved the church. But that's interesting here. So after today's message, not sure what kind of messages I'll get. We'll see. Right? But yeah. But maybe we're just trying to even it out just a little bit here. I think the point is valid, though. When you have a situation of sin between a man and a woman, let's say an affair, there's a guilty man and a guilty woman in that as well. But listen, why is respect for a man so essential? Why is that here? And if you had to put one word in marriage, in verse 33, it's respect. Why is that so essential to men? Because it's how God created us. It's how God created us, and it's right here in the word. Remember, the greatest thing a woman needs is love, and the greatest thing a man needs is respect. It's how we're created. This is what God blesses. This is what God favors. This is what God builds. This is, again, love and respect. When this isn't here, what happens? It's the sinful battle between shame and domineering in the home. The woman trying to shame more and more and more. The man trying to dominate more and more and more. You have a recipe for disaster. Disaster. Even right now in this room, it's happening, or Overflow or Orangeville, like stop in Jesus' name. Stop the shame. Stop the domination or the domineering. Stop it. Stop the control. All it leads to is more pain and hurt and desire. And Satan wants you to go all the way off the cliff. But the Holy Spirit's right now saying, this isn't working. The woman needs love and the man needs respect. Respect is seen in a wife, listen, that never humiliates or puts her husband down, especially in public. If you really want to devastate your husband, then just humiliate him in front of others. And the reason you would do that is because you do want to devastate your husband. You know how much it hurts, and you know the pain that it inflicts, and that's why you'll do it. A woman who seeks to trust the Lord and to love the Lord Jesus Christ will never seek to publicly humiliate or humiliate at all her husband. She will respect him. Respect is seen in a woman that listens to her husband and admires his contribution to their family. I know certain situations this is harder to do than others, but I'm always amazed too. Like one of the things we do in our soul care ministry and marriages, and I've heard this for many, many years, and it's a powerful exercise, and maybe you wanna do that today. I mean, I do this just when I think about it. When Jill and I, praise God, we're in a good place right now, but just like in recent days, like make a list of all the things you're thankful for your spouse. Just make a list. I just did that. I think even just because this was all my heart and mind, I sat there and I started to list all the ways I'm so thankful for my wife. And man, that's a good exercise. You're like, yeah, right. Oh yeah, wow, that and that. And the list gets pretty long pretty fast. And the power of gratitude as you reflect upon all the ways that you are blessed by what God has entrusted to you. Women who respect their husbands, they will seek the good and they will admire the contribution and they'll be willing to tell him. Respect is seen in a wife that admires her husband and tells him so and says, and I pray you're able to do this sincerely, to say, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Wise women, I just, like when Jill has come up to me in different situations, I got faults and weaknesses and I struggle with sin and blah, 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 and it's all there. But she comes up and she sees the good and she says, I'm proud of you over the years. It just, man, that puts some air in my tires. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're just, because we're created that way. She could dwell on my faults. She could dwell on my weaknesses. She could dwell on disappointments. But if she chooses to dwell on the things that she sees and she wants to applaud in the Lord and just say, I'm proud of you, it's just like you walk away and you're just like, you know, it's often emotional sometimes, right? Because again, it's how we're created. Respect is seen in a wife that gives grace to her husband when he makes mistakes and doesn't bring them up again and again and again, right? You know what's so key to any relationship is grace. If all we're gonna do is pick faults, well, I'll find them. Well, I could do that. You could do that, no problem. You know, just find the things that you don't like. Well, that's easy to do. Anyone can do that. It's called grace. In a marriage, we must give grace to one another. And we extend grace in this way again. And that's what love does. You don't just keep pointing out the things that have failed in the past. You give grace when mistakes are made. You forgive and you seek to believe the good. Respect finally is seen in a wife that prays for her husband. Listen, and believes in her husband. And believes in her husband. I do a lot of wedding sermons, obviously, over the years. One of my favorite moments, especially with a couple I know really well, I can look to the husband, I give an exhortation specifically for his wife, and I give an exhortation to the wife specifically for her husband. And I remember at times I'll say to the wife and people I know well, and I'll just look her in the eyes. I say, listen, one of the best things you can do for your husband, and name her and then name him, I'll say, is you will pray for him because you believe in what God is doing within him. Whenever I say that to men, I often get emotional. She gets emotional. He gets emotional. There's something so powerful about that. It's so powerful to say. You can love your husband by praying for him and believing in who God is making him to be. That is one of the best ways you will respect your husband, and the Lord will be so pleased as well. Now, a question that often comes up, and I'm almost done here, a question that comes up is say, well, what should I do if my husband's not a believer? Now, that's a legitimate circumstance for many, again, that are here right now. 1 Peter 3 answers, I can't say everything in this message, but I did want to say this. 1 Peter 3 answers this precisely. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, meaning if some are not believers, notice, The instruction is not talk, 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 nag, nag, nag. That is not the instruction. The instruction is they may be one. That's such a beautiful phrase. One without a word. By the conduct of their wives when they see respectful and pure conduct. That's the strategy in the Holy Spirit. I will win my husband, and a wife will say, unbelieving husband, without a word, without a word. By pure and respectful conduct. There's more that we could say about that, but we have to, again, kind of wrap this up. Wives, let me just tell you a little secret on behalf of men, okay? No husband ever has prayed for a nagging wife. Okay, like I'm dead serious. Amen, men, right? No husband ever has said, Lord, would you please cause my wife to nag me more, right? That's never happened in the history of the world, right? So if that's your strategy, wife, you need to find a strategy in line with the Bible, okay? And not of your own doing and manipulation, but surrendering again to the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. The 1 Peter 3 talks about the gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Like that verse, God says, the wife who is a gentle and quiet spirit, I find precious. So if I'm a wife, I'm listening to that and I'm like, wow, where else does God say that about such things and such women in that way? But he says it here and he says a gentle and quiet spirit he finds precious. I'm like, man, that should be precious to me, right? I'm just trying to imagine, right? Trying to imagine if I'm reading that right there. That's awesome, and that is beautiful. So we end with a couple of takeaways. Number one on the screen for you, my favorite resource on marriage in the last few years is this book. I've quoted it twice today, Marriage and the Mystery of the Gospel by Ray Ortland. I think we had 30 copies in the first service. We're sold out, but we have ordered more, but you can get it anywhere you buy books. You can get it. If you're serious men and women, it's a short book. It has tremendous biblical theology and tremendous application. I commend it to you as a wonderful start. You read it together. You trust the Lord, see what he does. Secondly, today is part one, which means that next week is part two. Next week is part two. You must come back. You got to hear them both. You cannot separate part one from part two. They must go together in the end. Lastly, wives, husbands, if you believe what God's word is saying today is right, what is the one action you need to take right now? Husbands and wives, men and women, what is the one action the Holy Spirit's asking you to take right now in response to this message? And I would suggest it is likely repentance, or asking for forgiveness, humbling yourself before the God gives grace to the humble, he opposes the proud. Marriages that act in pride, God opposes. Marriages that act in humility, God gives grace. What is the one action that the Holy Spirit's asking you to do? Listen, not tomorrow, today. Today. What is the one action? Father, I pray in Jesus' name for all that's been shared right now, that you will have hearts that will receive it with the heart intended, with love and grace and truth. Father, I pray that you will find us in surrender, not fighting against your will, but so loving to say, Lord, you are right, you are good, and your commands are not burdensome. They are for my best and life and for your glory. So work within. Lord, I pray for men and women. I pray for young and old that you'll be moving in a beautiful way in this church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Live in the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.